Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Scott, we had Denise Peek in the studio a couple of weeks ago and said we were going to get back to her and maybe do some regular installments and a series of business-related topics, especially in terms of small business and entrepreneurs. Very happy to bring her in. She is the executive director of the Entrepreneur Institute, and that is on Museum Drive in Lansing. Hello, Denise.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Just fine. Well, I am looking forward to the possibility of doing these regular segments, and we'll talk more about that later. But I want to talk to you now about something you have going on a current session, assessing your business. What does that mean?
Well, it means helping the entrepreneur figure out where most businesses come from, and then looking at the different industries, you know, manufacturing, service, or retail, and then having them look at their own business idea, look at their business niche, think about who their customers are going to be, and then think about a contingency plan.
What happens when people do that, Denise?
What happens is that they get a really good sense of whether or not their idea or their concept is truly feasible.
How often do they slam on the brakes and say, whoa, I better think this out a little clearer before I invest my money?
I'd have to say not as often as they should. But that's okay. We try to catch them at the very beginning stages so that they can look at, okay, who are my customers and what is my niche going to be? Or if it's an existing business, help them look at, okay, what have you done in the past and who have your customers been in the past? And help them look at who the customers may be in the future.
We've talked about the importance of a business plan. Mm-hmm. How many people just plow ahead with the germ of an idea and really don't have this thing fleshed out very well?
I'd say quite a few. I'm not sure of the percentages, but I'd have to say they could be quite high.
Is the greatest cause of a failed business a bad business plan or undercapitalization?
I'd say a bad business plan.
Bad business plan, okay.
And because once you sit down and write that plan, you'll know exactly how much capital you might actually need. But if you don't do some of the things beforehand, then you could run into that problem of, okay, I was undercapitalized. Well, why was I undercapitalized? And if you don't have a plan, then you have nothing to refer to.
All right. I asked someone about a business plan when they had a struggling business, and the person looked at me like I was from Pluto. And they weren't really sure if they had a business plan. They sort of did. But what really constitutes an effective business plan?
Taking the time, really, to do your research.
Right.
Taking the time to understand who your customers truly are and to make sure that they have the income to buy your product or service.
And that should be written down, not just something while you're having a drink, right?
Exactly. Or just, I think my customers might be so-and-so. And then also checking out your competition. It is huge. There is an article that I give to all of our incoming participants. It's called What Not to Do, and it was an interview that Entrepreneur Magazine did almost 4 years ago with John Osher, and he is a habitual entrepreneur. But anyways, he actually created the first spin brush, and then he sold it to Procter & Gamble for $475 million.
Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
A lot of people say, well, you know, I have a business plan. They can't remember it. They don't know where they put it, and they haven't looked at it in 5 years. I think by a business plan should be something that you are reassessing, that you are evaluating on, what would you say, at least a yearly basis?
At least a yearly basis. It's almost like having a small action plan, so to speak.
Okay.
What goals and objectives do you want your business to achieve this year?
And not only is it okay to change it, you'd probably be remiss if you didn't change it from time to time due to other circumstances.
Like our financial meltdown. A lot of, you know, businesses even corporate actually had to go in and change their, you know, their model of how they do business, where they're going to get their customers from. And with a small business, sometimes that can change on a quarterly basis if you don't, you know, listen and learn from your mistakes.
All right. For those who are not familiar with the Entrepreneur Institute, it is a great opportunity for business people. And you have some guest speakers that are very interesting and educational. Tell us about Gordon Ferguson.
This evening, Gordon Ferguson, he is a senior business consultant at the Small Business Technology and Development Center. And he's going to come in and talk with the participants about some of the resources that are available to them through the SBTDC. Sometimes when you're trying to find research data about who your customers are, you know, what their buying habits are and things like that, you cannot always find that information at the public library. So they have a larger database that they could tap into so that you can pull that information out.
All right. Tell us a little bit about the SBTDC. To some people, not only can they not identify the acronym, they think it's part of an eye chart.
SBTDC stands for Small Business Technology and Development Center.
Okay.
They are a counseling service, and they're housed at Lansing Community College.
All right. And that is a resource for the community.
Exactly.
Lansing Community College is just that. It's a community college, and mm-hmm. it's there to serve the residents of this area.
Correct.
And that is one facet, and something that I think they would be very happy to see entrepreneurs, correct?
Correct.
All right. Where is the meeting again?
We are located at 200 Museum Drive,
all right.
Suite E. It's on the far end of Impression 5.
Impression 5 campus. Complex.
Yes. And we'll be here from 6 until 9. And anyone who would like to stop by and audit the class are more than welcome.
All right. And what time is Gordon Ferguson speaking?
He'll be here around 6:30.
Okay. But if you can't make it right at the beginning of class, it's probably something that if you can see 2 hours, it's better than none at all, right?
Exactly.
All right. And it's a good habit to get into. You're having these meetings every week. Are they always on the same day?
Always on the same day, always at the same time, every Wednesday from 6 until 9.
All right. We're going to be talking with you on a regular basis, I hope a very regular basis, Denise.
So do I, Jack.
And I hope that we can increase not only the number but the success of entrepreneurs in mid-Michigan. A small business is indeed the foundation of success, and something tells me that for this economy, that's where most of the growth is going to come.
That's the only place it's going to come. You know, most major corporations are not hiring 100 and 500 people like they used to. So,
well, as someone who had never even thought about small business before being forced into that reality and now being involved in a couple of them,
yes.
I can say that you ought to avail yourself of all the resources that are out there, and Denise Peake is one of those people. Denise, if people want to contact you, the best way to do that is?
At 517-853-5890.
All right, and what about a website?
www.yourfoundationforbusiness.com.
All right, sounds great. Have fun tonight, and we'll talk with you very soon.
Thanks, Jack.
Denise Peake, Executive Director of the Entrepreneur Institute. When we get back, we're going to be talking with Kyle Malin of MERS Newsletter and City Pulse, and we'll talk about a lot of political topics this week, and then one of my favorite former Spartans. Scott, when I met Lorenzo White, he could not put two sentences together. And he still gets a little bit shy from time to time, but in terms of personal growth and all the things he accomplished at Michigan State University, I have to be very proud of him. And now his son is at Central Michigan, and he spends an awful lot of time back with the Players Association trying to help them and help Michigan State football. We'll talk to Lorenzo a little bit later this hour. We'll be back with more. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.